Officials from Russia, Iran, and Turkey are meeting in the Black Sea resort of Sochi this week to discuss the civil war in Syria. One of the biggest issues is the humanitarian crisis triggered by the conflict, which is now more than 7 years old. Millions of civilians fled to neighboring countries, Lebanon, Jordan, and Turkey, and millions more are displaced inside Syria. Our next guest has been trying to help. Dr. Zaher Salul is president and co-founder of the relief organization Med Global, and he joins us now. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, I wonder if we might begin with the people who have fled Syria. I mean, where have you been recently and what have you seen?
A couple of weeks ago, I was in Jordan and I visited a city called Al-Mafraq, which is on the border of the Syrian-Jordanian area. And there was a free zone between Al-Mafraq and Syria, which had numbers of IDPs. These are internally displaced people from the recent bombing of Daraa. And these are Syrians who tried to get into Jordan, but they were blocked. We visited some of the injured Syrians who were allowed into Jordanian hospitals. One of them was a child. His name was Aus, who was 15 months, who was injured in the Syrian regime bombing of his house in a city called Seda, east of Daraa. And his family fled to the border areas, and they were allowed in to seek treatment for Aus. And there were about 160 injured Syrians who were allowed into Jordan. Mm. In the past couple of years, I visited, of course, refugees, Syrian refugees in Jordan, in Al-Za'atari camp, in Al-Azraq camp, and we did multiple medical missions there.
Ah. Now, do hospitals have supplies and equipment they need to treat all the injured and wounded?
In Jordan, yes. I mean, Jordan is a very advanced country in terms of healthcare. The doctors are well equipped to deal with the war injuries that they receive from Syria. In general, Jordan have provided what they can provide. They have about 650,000 Syrian refugees who are registered, and probably the same number who are not registered. And Syrians have fled to Jordan for the past 7 years, and in general, the situation is okay for them. But of course, many of them would like to go back when the situation is safer in Syria. Mm.
Well, so, I mean, given the numbers you just said, that's about 1.3 million refugees in Jordan, registered and unregistered. What is their biggest need right now?
The most important need is the actually political transition in Syria so they can go back. Every Syrian refugees, refugee I've met in Jordan wanted to go back, but they wanted to have a political transition and settlement in Syria. They wanted to have a guarantee of their safety. They wanted to have assurances that the villages and the cities they fled from are rebuilt. And this is not happening, of course, until now in Syria. There is still a lot of violence, especially from the Syrian regime at the areas that are controlled by the rebels. The Syrian regime recently have released documents of people who died under torture in Syria. There are about 13,000 of them. This is a huge number of Syrians who died under torture in the Assad's prisons. And people do not feel safe to go back to a country that has been, you know, killing people under torture in this industrial level. Of course, what they need in Jordan also more attention. They wanted to have, you know, especially for the children, which are about 50% of the refugees in Jordan, they need education, proper education. People need health care. And recently, the level of assistance from the international community have been dwindling. And we need to pay more attention to the refugees in Jordan and also in Lebanon. Lebanon is another country that I visited a couple of months ago, and the situation of the Syrian refugees in Lebanon is even worse than Jordan, because Lebanon is a small country. One out of four of the people in Lebanon is a Syrian refugee, about 1.5 million. And they need all kind of support in Lebanon.
Yeah. Well, I just want to play a little bit of tape for you, because on Friday we spoke with Lise Doucette. She's the BBC's chief international correspondent, and she's been covering the Syrian conflict since its beginning. And we talked to her about, you know, what might happen next now that it seems as President Assad's forces are retaking just about all the rebel-held territory in Syria, and what that might mean for the refugees who have fled the country. So let's listen to what Lise said.
The question is whether President Assad wants people to come back now, whether there's a place for people to come back now, whether it's safe to come back, but also it's about the kind of population. People will come back. Some of them would have been people who supported the uprising, although they won't want to talk about that or be identified with that. Syria is a country which needs money for reconstruction. So these are political and financial issues.
Dr. Salul, I'm wondering, I mean, for all the people that you spoke with, you said everyone wanted to go home, but would they even have a place to go to?
Some of them do. I mean, I spoke with Syrian businessmen and doctors who've fled the crisis in Syria and the Assad regime in particular, and they want to go back, and they have homes. They have their neighborhoods are still intact in some of the cities like Damascus and Homs and Aleppo, but they want the guarantee of their safety. They want to have political settlement, and they want to make sure they want to have assurances by the international community that they will not be persecuted, which is the case right now in some of the refugees who are going or pushed to return from Lebanon and other places to Syria. There is no guarantee of their safety. The Syrian regime have been especially targeting young men in military age for draft. And actually, if we're seeing in some of the instances, like in the city of Homs and other places, people fleeing now, even at that there is no violence because they don't want to be drafted in a military that they consider been targeting their people. So this level of safety is not there. Of course, they need, some of them want to go to a place that there's houses. There's about 4 million houses in Syria that were destroyed, mostly by the Assad and the Russian regimes. Some neighborhoods in my city, Homs, were completely leveled. And until now, after the Assad regime asserted its control in the city of Homs, these same neighborhoods are not built and people are not allowed to go back to it.
Hmm. I mean, what you just said, this has been such an awful conflict. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people dead, millions displaced. I'm just wondering, do you think that the world, the international community has failed Syria and Syrians?
I think every Syrian I speak to and spoke to in the past 7 years, and I lived the crisis like many Syrians in every minute, feel that we were let down by the international community, especially by my country, by the United States of America. We shut the door in the faces of Syrian refugees. We allowed only 18,000 Syrian refugees. And let's remember that there's 5.5 million Syrian refugees. Much smaller countries have accepted larger number of Syrian refugees. We did not support the Syrians humanitarianly. We did not engage in the crisis at the political level to force a political transition. We have United Nations Security Council Resolution 2254 that speaks for a political transition in Syria. That resolution happened in 2012. Until now, we don't have any political process that will lead to that endpoint. In general, this administration in particular did not care about the Syrian people. And lately, they've been talking about disengagement from Syria completely, which will be a disaster. So what every Syrian American and Syrian I spoke to would like to see is more attention to the plight of the Syrian civilians, and not only talking about Syria in the term of crisis and terrorism and ISIS and protection of our allies, but speaking about the people as humans who deserve our attention, who deserve our protection, who deserve to live in dignity. Let's not forget that in 2011, Syrian people went into peaceful demonstrations to ask for freedom, for dignity, for jobs, the same way that we in the United States have. And they've been punished severely by their own government, brutally persecuted, shot at in the demonstration, pushed to carry arms. And right now, everyone is trying to ignore them and act as things are back to normal. This should not happen.
Mm. Dr. Zaher Salul is president and co-founder of the relief organization Med Global. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Meghna.